If you're a guest, just welcome. Thank you for coming. I love being the pastor here, and my heart for you is that you connect to God and to people who love God. And I'd love it if you'd fill out a connection card. It gives you an opportunity to connect with resources, relationships. We also send you something cool in the mail. And my heart as a pastor is really just to see you grow. And I want to see you grow in your walk with God, grow as a person, and that we come together as a body of believers to really transform the world around us. It begins individually, then influences the people closest to us, usually our family and close friends. And then I really believe that the local church is the hope of the world and that we can transform this whole region. We can see the areas where people are broken and hurt, those that are hurt and broken and miserable, they can experience God. That's why we exist. And so today we're continuing on with our Born for This series because I want you to know why you're on the face of this earth. This whole series is about purpose. And the first week was born to know God because here's the four things that we are born for. Actually, there's six, but I'm going up through four today. So the first week was these six things that we are called to live out our purpose. It's not exclusive. It's like not only this, but if you get these six right, man, you got it down. But here's the ones that we've gone over. The first one is that you were born to know God. Everybody here is born to know God. And if you don't know him and are not growing in him, then you're always going to have this sense of being unfulfilled because the creator and the designer is the one who created you and designed you, who knows how he's wired you. And unless you know him, you'll never figure that out on your own. You're born to know God. You're born to grow. All of us are born to grow. Anything that stagnates, it's never good. I have like 37 coffee mug, travel mugs. Anybody else like that? Like you got like 37 travel mugs. Nobody else, just me. Okay, got it, no worries. I'm the weird one, I guess, but I collect like travel mugs, not like intentionally collect them, they just sort of appear. One appeared in my truck this week. Somebody gave me one, it was from a bank. But I have this thing, like I'll drink coffee, but I'll drink like half of it and then forget it in the back of the vehicle. Have y'all ever done that? Or in the door and then you realize like 3 weeks later, like, what's that smell? What is it? And you pick up the coffee cup and it's got a little bit of coffee in it and you open it up and it's like, oh my gosh, like nasty junk is growing in there. Nobody's ever experienced this. Come on, people. It's gross, isn't it? Let me just tell you, if you don't tend to your life, something nasty is going to grow. Now, we were designed to grow. In our walk with God, we're designed to grow in the right things, not the wrong things. But the reality is that you can grow in either. We're designed to know God. We're designed to grow. We are born for those two things. We're also born for generosity, that we are born to be givers. Like God is in his example in giving to us breath and life. What a gift life is, isn't it? Well, y'all aren't too sure about that. Some of you might be at the place where you felt like life isn't a gift, or if it is one, you want to like return it and like exchange it for something else. I've been there, but life is a gift. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And let me just tell you, when you sow seeds of generosity, you reap peace and joy. You reap the fruit of God's spirit. When we're born for that, to know God, to grow, we're born for generosity. But here's the thing, we are born, and here's today's message, we're born to connect. We're born to connect. I think so often we think that life is about the doing. And I think that's been the bane of Christianity because many people look at Christians and they say, well, they're hypocrites. And I think it's because Christianity for so long, unfortunately, at least in many churches, and that's really comprised of individuals who I think have great intentions, but we get things kind of backwards sometimes. Like, we're all about like, if I'm a Christian, I've got to do these things. And we create these lists. And there's actually like 10 commandments. And those are real. But like we get so focused on the doing that we don't recognize that there's some things that maybe we should consider why we're doing those things or not doing those things. And so there's four things that I think we have to know and we have to see answered in our life. And the first one is who am I? And can I say for individuals and for the church, I think these questions are really the same. The first question that we better be asking ourselves is, who am I? Who am I? Well, as a church, we're a church that we love God, we love people, we serve all. For me, I know what God's called me to be a teacher and a healer. Who am I? Do you know who you are? The next thing is like, why do you exist? Because who you are speaks to identity, but why you exist speaks to purpose. As a church, we exist to reach people and build lives. Reach people with the love of God and build lives on the revelation that Jesus is the hope of the world. That's why we exist. I have a question for you. Who are you? Why do you exist? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? That's why we're doing this series. The third question is, what do you want? What do you want? These are like deep questions. Like, they're very easy. Like, who am I? I am Todd Schumacher. Why do you exist? Because God made me. What do you want? I'd like a good meal after this. Do you see how easy it is to just answer those questions on the surface? But like, when you dig deeper, like, who am I? Like, why do I exist? Why am I on this planet? And then the big one, to me, I think it's the biggest question is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? This is like a valid question. What do you want? A lot of people just don't know. And so they run around trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction in a variety of things. And then they really camp out on the last one, which is, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And that becomes the whole focus of everything, because they think if even though they may not be able to clearly answer, who am I? Why do I exist? What do I want? Everybody has the ability to act in a particular manner, which has really, I think, been the bane of Christianity, because so many Christians have not really asked the question, okay, who am I, and come up with the answer. I'm a kid of God, and I need to know him to know myself, because that's the reality. You were created by God. You'll never know yourself unless you first know God, because he'll give you the answer and the definition as to who you are. Why do I exist? God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. In these 6 weeks, that's what we're going through. You're born to know God. You're born to grow. You're born for generosity. You're born to connect. Keep coming back. It's gonna get good. I think it is good. Do you know your purpose? And what do you want? As a church, here's what we want. Reach people. That's why we exist. We want four things for people. We want people to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. That's what we want. And because we know who we are, because we know why we exist, love God, love people, serve all, that's who we are. We're a church that loves. We know we exist to reach people, which is why we're a growing church. It's not because we're smarter, faster, better, have better words. No, because we have a heart to reach people and see people grow. What do we want? We want people to know God, find freedom, know their purpose, make a difference in the world around them. That's why we do so much outreach. Actually, even this Tuesday, I believe, we have an outreach. We're reaching out to the homeless in our community, housing them here. Like, we believe in making a difference in the world around us. But what do? Well, we only do four things as a church. We get together like this. But you know, church isn't about corporate gatherings, right? We just come together to encourage one another. It's the only place in the Bible I can find that in Hebrews 10:26 says, 10:26. Let me slow down and clarify something. 10:26 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. Man, I want this to be a place of encouragement, that we gather together, that we have small groups because we want people to find freedom. We believe that freedom comes when you're connected to people, that we want you to know your purpose, which is why we do Growth Track, which is why we do Grow, which is happening actually right now as we speak in the outside room that used to be the arcade room if you're from here in this old theater. And then we want people to make a difference, which is why we have people serving on teams at church, why we have outreach, why we do food pantry every week, those things. But unless you are connected to God and to people, you'll miss all of those. And you'll live a life in turmoil. You were born to connect. But many times people feel like this. Can we show that picture? This is what a lot of people feel like. Yes, I was born to connect, but they feel like every time they've tried, guess what's happened? Do you know what that is? And we need to flip those pictures for the next time. What is that? That's a porcupine. You ever felt like a porcupine? Y'all got to talk to me today. Come on, y'all. If I need to stand y'all up and y'all shift around and shift seats so we can be relaxed, do I need to do that? Y'all going to be alive this morning? Good. Because if you're not, I'm just going to make you sit there for an hour and a half. Y'all going to go right into 12:30 service. Not really. You ever felt like a porcupine? Like, you try and get close, but like, it's like nobody wants to get around you. You felt that way? Or maybe you have felt like that dog. Like, y'all felt like the dog with all the quills on its face? That's pretty terrible. There's over 30,000 quills on a porcupine. Do you know that? Over 30,000 quills. And the way that they're designed is when they stick into flesh, into warm flesh, they expand and they become like a fish hook that you just can't get out. And they can actually kill the animal that gets stuck. That poor dog, that's terrible. I don't know if, I'm sure he lived through that, but I bet he'll never get around another porcupine. For some of us, we feel like the porcupine, and then for some of us, like, you've been around the porcupine, you don't ever want to go back. And the reality is that we're called to connect. You know, in the Latin, you know the original Latin name for porcupine? It translated to the irritable pig. Some of y'all thinking, yeah, that's my husband. Because people just don't want to be around an irritable person or so. Many people feel like a porcupine. You know, when you have a bunch of geese together, what's that called? Nobody knows. Okay, let's try something simpler. What do you call a bunch of deer together? A herd. Thank you. Somebody like tentatively is like, a herd? Yes, a herd of deer. You have what of sheep? A flock of sheep. You have a gaggle of geese. You have, what do you call ducks? Come on, I know y'all know this one. A flock of ducks. Do you know what you call porcupines together? You know what they're called? There's an actual name for it. It's called a prickle. A prickle of porcupines. And I think you can see why. But the reality is that porcupines almost never get together. Why? Because, like, who wants to be around a porcupine? Nobody wants to be around a porcupine. And my heart for you today is that if you feel like a porcupine or like you've been around porcupines, that you got stuck, that you can recognize that God has something for you, that you were called to connect to people. And 1 Peter 2:5, it says this. It says, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You're like living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're living stones. We're called living stones. We're not called bricks. Bricks are made and laid, but stones, if you're gonna use them in building, they have to be chiseled and then they have to be set. Do you see the difference? Bricks are made and then they're laid, but that's not what we are. We are living stones that are chiseled and set. Psalm 68:6 says this. It says, God makes a home for the lonely. Some translation says, it says, God sets, and then it says, he sets people in families. God makes a home for the lonely. Here's my heart for you, is that you recognize that God wants to do some chiseling on you, and then he wants to set you into a family, that he wants to set you next to people. But you can't build like if you had a bunch of stones that were to be made into a building, you can't just set them together, can you? The two things that do have to happen is the first one is you have to take and chisel each stone to match the next one, the one next to it. You realize that, right? The one that's stacked on top to it, next to it, so that they'll all fit together. God needs to do some chiseling perhaps on some of you today. And then you can't just like chisel them and then set them together. What do you have to keep those stones right like with each other? What do you have to have? You have to have mortar. And let me tell you, there's the Holy Spirit of mortar. Like God is the one that joins people together. And my heart is that you recognize that God wants to do some chiseling on you, and he wants to set you next to some people that he's chiseled in a complimentary manner. And I'm not standing up here as the guy who's got it all together. I do know this, that I need people. I have two pastors. I have two coaches that help me. I have friends. I have family. I have spiritual brothers both in this church and outside of this church that help hold me accountable. And I recognize that I need them. Because loneliness is no fun, and doing life together is a lot of fun. So we get to choose, am I gonna be vulnerable and give myself to God and to other people, or am I gonna live my life for myself? Mother Teresa says this. She says, loneliness is the leprosy of modern society. There's no pain like loneliness. There's no pain like loneliness. And the crazy thing is that it's fixable if we trust God. I'm just gonna give you a few stats if you're all right with that. It says, isolated people are 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. People with bad habits, smoking, poor diet, excessive drinking, but strong social ties lived much longer than those living healthy but isolated lives. Some of y'all are thinking, well, that's good. I'll just keep on smoking and drinking and like excessively. And like, I think you're missing the point. But the reality is that the people that we choose to do life with and we allow God to set in place in our lives as he chisels on us and chisels on them. And when we are joined together, there is a fulfillment that takes place there because you're born to connect. Like almost 8 billion people on the face of the earth. And you would think with so many people and everybody now living so close together, you would think that somebody would have come up with a system or a structure, some kind of way that nobody would ever feel lonely because there's just so many people, right? Doesn't it seem logical? I mean, I think they tried with Facebook, but statistic and research after research has shown that if you're on social media, it's something low to like 20 minutes a day. If you're on social media for more than that, you're more apt to be isolated and depressed. Isn't that crazy? The very thing that somebody tried to create to connect people has the opposite effect, not because social media is bad, but because the heart of man is really broken and messed up apart from God. And my heart for you is that you have real relationships, not relationships that you can block. I'm just going to block that person. I'm going to delete that text. I didn't even see it. Come on, some of y'all have deleted texts that people have sent you, and some of them needed to be deleted. Am I right? And my heart, though, is that you connect. And the person who created the system by which no one will be lonely is God. He created you to connect with others. It's his idea. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we see God in the middle of creation. It says, God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And this is what I want you to get. And God saw that it was good. Do you think God knows a good thing when he sees it? Come on, does he? Yeah, God knows a good thing when he sees it. So when we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we see it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. It's not good. Do you think like God created Adam, put him in the garden, and then went, oh man, maybe I missed something. Did I miss the formula? Like, I thought this was gonna be good, but now I realize it's not good. Did God make a mistake in just creating Adam? Did he like come to the revelation like, ding, oh man, I really messed this one up, did he? No, why is this in here? I mean, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He didn't do it because he came to the revelation after the fact. God knows everything. He put it in there and showed us as an example. It is not good for us to be alone. God is showing you today, it is not good for you to be alone. And can I just say that this is often used in the context of marriage, and that is true, but it's not the only context. The reality, and I want you to get this, and y'all can be mad at me, because some of you have probably believed a lie, and it's not even biblical. Here's the lie that you've believed. God is all that I need. That's a lie. It's not true. It's not even biblical. It's not even in the Bible, because remember, this is before the fall. Adam is living in perfection and in close relationship with God, and God says it is not good for him to be alone. You know, the truth is that there is a God-shaped hole in each of us that only he can fill. But he created us also with a relational hole with people around us that he says in the very beginning, you need people. Actually, he says it this way, you need help, because we all need help. So here's my question, who has God placed in your life? Who have you allowed into your life? Who have you gotten close enough to in their life for them to be a help to you and for you to be a help to them? Because God created you to connect. You were created from the very beginning. We see God's heart for humanity is first relationship with him, and then second, a healthy relationship with the people around us. Am I making sense this morning? Okay. The problem is that relationships are kind of messy, right? Like three of you have messy relationships. The rest of you, y'all need to be speaking this message, because there's three, I just want to today, this is not the comprehensive list, but I think there's three poisons to relationships and spiritual family, because I want you to have a revelation of what healthy relationships are like, and I want you to have a revelation of spiritual family. That means God brings people into your life he'll use them to chisel on you. It's Proverbs 27:17 that says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So the reality is that God will use people to shape you. I want you to have a revelation of what a healthy relationship looks like, and a revelation that you need spiritual family. You need people in your life to be sharpening on you and chiseling away on you. So here's the poisons. Here's the first one. You ready? It's independence. The first one is independence. And so many people live in a place of relational poverty simply because they think that they have to do life alone. And they live by this mantra of, I've got to pull myself up by my bootstraps because that's what my daddy said, that's what my pawpaw said, and I've got to do it myself. I've got to be a self-made man. And the reality that we see in the Word of God is that you should allow Him to make you and allow the people around you to help you. But the lie that many people have believed is that we have to do it ourselves. And then we look at independence. Independence is a good thing, and that we equate it with freedom, and in large part, I believe, because of the history lessons that we were all taught. But the fact is, and I so want you to get this, that independence doesn't equal freedom. Those are two totally separate things. Independence, because you were independent, does not mean that it's freedom. In fact, as our country declared independence and then fought a war to be independent from Britain, there was a whole group of people that were still subjugated in slavery. How is that healthy? Independence is not something that equates to freedom. And my heart for you is that you operate in freedom, but you'll never get to that. You'll remain in relational poverty and perhaps even relational slavery until you recognize that the Creator, the designer, has created you and designed you to be in relationship with people that He sets into your life. So my question to you, who are those people? And are you allowing them to help you? Are you helping them? Are you allowing them to sharpen you? Are you sharpening them? Are you allowing God to chisel on you because He's got some people that He wants to connect you with, set you next to, because you are a living stone? You guys following me? Because y'all quiet. 1 Corinthians 12:18-19 says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? If they were all one member, it would be deformed. And unfortunately, many times the body of Christ is deformed and close relationships between people are deformed because they want to equate unity with conformity and that everybody should look the same, everybody should talk the same, act the same, think the same. Let me just tell you, if you're in a marriage and that you say, what's the problem with your marriage? And you point to your spouse, you've got a real problem. If you're in a marriage and it's a good one and or relatively good, and somebody asks you, what's the secret to a happy marriage? Like, what is it that, what makes a marriage happy? And you point to yourself, you've got a problem. Because healthy marriages know that the reason that it's healthy is because the other person. If there's conflict in the marriage and it just doesn't seem to be getting resolved over and over, this is what I've seen. It's their fault. But a healthy marriage recognizes that that unity isn't about conformity, but it's celebrating the differences and coming together with a purpose that's bigger than both of you. So unhealthy marriages go, they're the issue, and they're doing this. Healthy, happy, whole marriages, when asked the secret to the happiness, they don't point to themselves, they do this. Because they recognize, if they were all one member, where would the body be? I know it seems kind of silly, but I remember I was young when the riots in Los Angeles took place. And it still sticks with me to this day. Why can't we just all get along? Why can't we just all get along? Y'all remember that? Rodney King. Why can't we just, here's why. Because people operate in independence, and independence is pride. There's two types of pride. There's the pride that speaks to arrogance. I'm independent because I think I'm the best and I can do anything and nobody's in my way. I'm a self-made man. And there are people that actually, in the world's eyes, would be what's considered a self-made man. Can I tell you? It's proud and arrogant. Nobody likes being around that person. They simply tolerate being around that person because that person gives them a payoff and usually a paycheck. And then there's the other type of pride, that it's not arrogance, it's downtroddenness. Like, you're just so beat down that you're gonna step away from people and you're gonna do it on your own because you don't trust people. They're both wrong, and they're both poison to relationships. An independent spirit in a relationship means that nobody can tell you anything because you've already made up your mind and it's rooted in pride. So you wanna know what the antidote is? Here it is. It's humility. It's humility. Let me define what humility is and is not. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Because so many people think, I just need to be humble. Like, oh, that was stupid. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I just need to be humble and I'm just a moron. No, it's not thinking less of yourself. There's something to be said for the person who doesn't think less of themselves, but they think of, and this is humility, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. There's something to be said for someone in a relationship someone in life who can stand with shoulders back, tall, chin up, and they can speak the truth about themselves and be confident in how they're wired and who they are and what God's called them to. There's a spirit of confidence on them, but at the same time, there's a humility. They're more concerned with the people around them, their well-being, and being a blessing to them than they are about receiving blessing and what other people think about themselves. And my heart for you is that you recognize that independence, doing it your way, nobody can tell you anything, everybody's out to get you, that it's borderline paranoid, that you're operating in pride. And the antidote to independence in relationship is humility. It's humility. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. It says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. Here's my question. Here's a test of independence right there. Are you able to accept authority of people over you? Because if you have an issue with authority, you ultimately have an issue with pride, and you have an independent spirit. You who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility. That means it's something you got to put on every day. You know, I am very glad that I seldom, if ever, forget to put pants on. Did y'all ever have those dreams when you were in school, like you went to school in your drawers? I had that in third grade. It was like so real. Like I went to school in my underwear and it affected me. Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot my pants. Y'all know, nobody's ever had those dreams. It's amazing how we don't forget to wear pants when we're older. And I really didn't in third grade either. But we often forget to dress ourselves in humility. Do you dress yourself in humility? Or is nobody going to tell me anything? No, you need to understand authority. You need to accept authority. If you have issues with authority, you probably have an independent spirit. I don't say that condemningly, because guess what I've had to fight all these years? Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. I'm smart. I can figure it out. I don't need your rules, your regulations. I don't need your thumb down on me. I got this. No, really what I had was an independent and proud spirit. And I had to choose, listen to me, choose to dress myself in humility. Water parks are okay, I guess. They're not my thing. I mean, they're kind of fun to go to sometimes. But then there's those water parks that just shouldn't be. Not because the park's bad, but because the people there are disgusting. It's the worst ever. I love Sulphur. What a great city. But their water park, while fantastic, needs some rules about what people are wearing. And like usually like more, like wear more. Please wear more. Because like nobody wants to see that. It's not attractive. You might think it's attractive. Like you strutting around like it's all like all that and it's all hanging out. But it's not good. Like it's not, nobody wants to see that. Go home, baby. Put the cover up, somebody. Have y'all ever experienced that at water parks or the beach? You're like, that's not good. That's not a good thing. Cover up. Let me tell you, when we walk around so full of ourselves, I don't care what everybody else thinks, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. You're like that person at the water park that has no business wearing that bathing suit. Accept the authority of the elders. Dress yourself in humility. Put it on every day. Relate to one another as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Everybody wants God's grace. That means it's getting good things that you don't deserve. Everybody wants that in their life. But if you're proud and independent, you'll never see it. The antidote is humility. The second poison, insecurity. Insecurity. In other words, you're constantly doubting yourself and other people. You're insecure. Look at Psalm 68:6 says, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. God makes a home for you. I want you to get this. God makes a home for you. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. This isn't about wealth. This is about the fruit of God's spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control in your life. Because let me tell you, you can be wealthy beyond compare, but if you don't have peace and joy and love in your life, you're miserable. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. And here's what the insecure person says with a smile on their face. They're miserable underneath, but they're like, yeah, it's all good. Yeah, it's good. It's all good. Yeah, it's good. I promise. Well, what's the antidote for that? Here's the antidote for insecurity. It's honesty. Hey, I really am struggling. I feel like a porcupine. Like when I get around, everybody else goes away. Like, I feel like I've been hurt and wounded. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. You need people in your life. You were born to connect. But if you operate in independence or insecurity, you're poisoning your relationships. You need humility and honesty. Be honest with how you're feeling. I feel like I kind of don't fit in. I kind of don't belong. Can I just be honest? I had to even deal with that this past week. I sat in a room with about 30 pastors of the largest pastors, and like the largest churches in all the country. There was literally 30 of us, and we were at a hunting lodge in by Covington. And I'm sitting across from Pastor Chris Hodges at Church of the Highlands, who has 40,000+ people in the church on the weekends as attendance. And then Robert Morris, who is at Gateway, who has almost that much. And then like everybody in the church, I'm like, what? Like, and then the guy who spoke that evening, just shared kind of like a little round table, is John Maxwell. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, maybe I'll just step away here. And then I realized, no, they're people. And I know what God's created me for, and it's to connect. So instead of stepping out of that because of my own insecurities, I just leaned in and went, wow, thank you, God, for the opportunity to connect with some really great people. I made some lasting connections, really excited about that. But it never would have happened if I was insecure in that moment. And let me tell you, the temptation was there. Here's the third thing as we're wrapping up. Isolation. Here's the third poison, isolation. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all wise judgment. If you isolate yourself, you're quarreling against wise judgment. Can I just tell you? There's a difference between isolation and solitude. Jesus regularly practiced solitude, where he got away from people, but it was with a purpose to connect with his Father so that when he went back to those people, he had a word from him. We need to practice that. And if you deal with isolation where you feel like the porcupine, where I'm just going to step out of the situation because I don't want to get hurt, or you view because you've been hurt in the past, you view everyone else as the porcupines, like I'm surrounded by a prickle of porcupines and I'm just going to step out, and you're isolating yourself, here is the antidote. You ready? It's helping someone. Help someone. Help someone. Get outside of yourself and lend a helping hand. And here's what you do. You look for the people who feel like they kind of feel like they're on the outside, because you know what people look like when they're feeling like alone and isolated. And do you know that? You know what they look like? You do. You can pick that out. Go help somebody and encourage them and make them feel like they're valued and loved and that they belong, because the very thing that you feel like stepping away because you're not valued and loved and like you don't belong and you're like, I just feel like just stepping out. That's the very thing. When you give that to other people, guess what God gives you? The feelings of love and acceptance, and you watch the independence and the insecurity and the isolation evaporate because you've stepped outside of yourself into a realm of humility where you're not thinking less of yourself, you're just thinking of yourself less, and you're stepping into honesty where you can go, you know, I can feel a little bit on the outside too, but maybe together we can really feel loved. That would be weird to say that in a conversation, but you can feel that and you can say it correctly, and then you just help somebody. Because I want you to know, and we've got, I want to go through some of these statements. I just want us to read them. The first one is this, is independence is not my friend. Everybody say it, you ready? Independence is not my friend. I'm lovable to others. You got to know that you're lovable to others. Look at the next one. Insecurity is not my lot in life. Everybody say it, you ready? Insecurity is not my lot in life. Say this, I'm valued by God. You gotta know this, that you are valued by God and you don't have to be insecure. You don't have to be independent. They're both choices. Here's the third thing, that all people are not out to hurt me. Y'all ready? Come on, y'all say it with me. All people are not out to hurt me. Drop the paranoia. People are not out to hurt you. You gotta know this, say it with me. God is bringing people into my life. The next one. You ready? Here we go. We're going to say it together. Loud. You ready? I'm not a porcupine. I can risk loving others because God loves me. You are not a porcupine. If you believe that, that self-fulfilling prophecy will come true and you will feel like you're constantly rejected by people, but it's a lie from the pit of hell. And the last thing, this is so powerful. I'm loved by God. You ready? Here we go. I'm loved by God. God sets me in a family. You just have to allow him to do it. Because you are loved by him, and God will set you in a family. Psalm 68:6, God makes a home for the lonely. God makes a home for the lonely. So I'm asking you to make the commitment. It's actually in your notes, the very last thing. Here it is. I'm asking you to make the commitment to this. The first thing is speak God's truth over your life. Speak God's truth over your life. That you speak the truth, not the lie. What is your self-talk like? Are you, man, I'm just an idiot. Like, nobody likes me. I'm just screwed it up again. I'm a failure. Stop saying those things and speak God's truth, that you are not the bottom. You're not the tail, that you're the head. That you are loved by him, that you are valued by him. Speak God's truth over your life. The second thing, commit to spiritual family. That's first a heart thing where you say, you know what? I'm gonna allow God to chisel on me and then set me as a living stone with a group of people who have a heart for him and a heart for each other. You have to make that heart choice. And then practically, you have to be willing to connect to a church. How do you do that here? The easiest thing is at 11 o'clock every week, every Sunday, we have Grow. And it's all about what it means to connect in the church, and it's designed to help you fulfill your purpose. And then the third thing, I'm asking you to make the commitment. Get in a group. Get in a group. You were not created to do life alone. Get in, it's not too late. Get in a group. Actually, we had people after service that were tracking me down and our small group director saying, I need to get in a group. Get in a group, because it's so true. We're better together. God has such a great future for us. Together, we just have to be willing to engage. Let's bow our heads. Some of you here that you need to engage in a relationship with God. The first connect that you need to have is with him. And that today that he is knocking on the door of your heart, he's already reached out. He's already made the first step. The Bible tells us that God first loved us. He loves us first. He's just waiting for us to reciprocate. And perhaps some of you today, you felt like instead of reciprocating God's love, you've been running from God's love. And today, he wants you to run to him, not run away. If you're here and you just know that God's knocking on the door of your heart and today you want to surrender to him, if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you right where you are. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you back here. I see you. Anybody over here? Can we just all pray together? And if you raised your hand, you just pray this from the bottom of your heart. Let's all pray together. Just say, Dear God, I surrender to you. I turn from my sin. I turn from my ways. I give myself to you. I believe you, Jesus. You died on the cross for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up here. And if you prayed that prayer, here's what I'm gonna ask of you. In just a moment, Pastor Tom's gonna come up. We're gonna do the offering. Take that connection card and check on there. I surrendered my life to Christ. Some of you, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you resurrendered. Like, I rededicated my life. Check that off. Let us know so that we can connect with you and connect you in a godly relationship. And if you're here and you know that this message was for you, at the end of every service, we have our ministry team up here to pray with you, because some of you probably need to connect today. Don't walk out of here without doing that. I love y'all. It's always wonderful to be here and to see y'all here. And say it all the time, but man, it's true. The best is yet to come. Pastor Tom.